You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
How are you?
I'm great.
Awesome. Devin, how are you? I know you're sleepy, dude.
Guys, I am so tired.
Dude, Devin's got like 2x4s leaned up against his body, holding him up in the chair. Otherwise, he'll slump and fall.
Guys, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for the madness that is March. No, I'm okay. I'm getting along. I'm watching my bracket. I'm surviving.
John, Devin's got toothpicks holding up his eyelids. That's how tired he is.
They're not working.
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do.
We're gonna go get the staple gun after this show and just kind of tack those bad boys up for the rest of the day so I can watch more basketball.
Yep. March Madness is here. Yes, it is. All right. Speaking of madness. Oh my gosh. Let's start off with our usual opening topic of the Utah Jazz. Madness. Absolute madness. John, what do you want to talk about?
Madness takes its toll. Well, hey, the Jazz are 20. Let's see, from January 24th. Let's just review how teams have been doing since January 24th. Jazz are the number one defensive team in that span by 7 points better than the number two team. Second best team since January 24th in defense is Toronto Raptors' defensive rating of 101.7. The Jazz are 94.5.
Okay, but just for comparison's sake, what's the spread between two and three?
Third is Rockets at 102.6, so 0.9.
Wow.
So we're doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're hanging in there.
And Ricky Rubio is the league's favorite bad boy right now.
Yeah, there's just something about him. Gets under people's skin, you know, being good at passing and steals and all that stuff.
And here we were thinking Joe Ingles was the guy that gets under people's skins, but holy cow, Jared Dudley. I don't know.
I'll tell you what it is.
Well, let's talk about the Phoenix game.
Yeah, let's do it.
Phoenix actually won the first quarter. Jazz looked kind of slow, like maybe they were sleepwalking in this game. And then they wound up blowing them out. You know, it went back to Jazz basketball from the second, third, and fourth quarters. But the play that's going to get the talk is Jared Dudley just blindsiding Rubio with a shove, knocking him down. Dudley said later that he flopped, and I'm like, whatever, dude.
Yeah, he tweeted that.
Chris came over and just did this full-on shove, just completely uncalled for. And even the Suns commenters were like, didn't know what Chris was doing. I mean, Chris, he loses control of his dunk, falls to the ground, and then decides to take it out on Rubio. It just didn't make sense.
Well, hey, don't not lose his control of his dunk. Let's be honest here. It was an airball dunk. Plain and simple, it was an airball dunk.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you saw the ball going out of his hand before he even got to the rim.
Yeah, I know. And the worst part about it is it's like there was no foul. There was nothing. I mean, he must have been frustrated already. But then Jared Dudley, like you said, he claims that Rubio flopped. And he claims that all he was trying to do was to stop the break because he had a player on the floor. They needed to help him up, and he had to stop a break. And it's like, and he says, Rubio flops. Like, no, come on. I didn't even watch the game, but I've watched this replay countless times this morning. And it just, obviously emotions had been building with Chris all game, but Joe Ingles, I thought, was going to tear into him. Holy cow.
Yeah, he showed admirable restraint. I mean, he got his point across. And Quinn's comments after the game, we're great too.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to defend your teammates. Actually, if you listen to the postcast with Ron Boone, Ron Boone was just upset that the NBA has gotten to this point where they expect NBA players, if they get knocked down, to just walk away and not do anything.
Exactly.
And that just doesn't sit right with him.
Nope, I agree.
And, you know, there's some truth to that. I don't think I don't think Donovan and Joe should have got texts. I thought they were the defending their guy and they're making sure nothing else happened. I mean, Joe was just getting Chris out of the way while also having words with him.
Unfortunately, we can put the blame back on Malice at the Palace. That thing started the careful pushback the league has been doing on this kind of stuff, right? I mean, can we agree?
Yeah.
Malice at the Palace is probably where this all started.
Yeah, but before Malice at the Palace, you could like throw fists and then just give you tech and you could still play.
Yeah, but you didn't have players go up into the stand and start beating down on fans. I mean, I think that's where the league decided, nope, we got to do this. You know, thank you, Ron Artest. Thank you, Meta World Peace, because you have changed the NBA forever and not in a good way. So.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And then, I mean, so while we're talking about the game last night, I mean, that we'll talk about that, and that's going to get a lot of headlines. But I like I said, I missed the entire game, but I went back to watch some replays. Donovan Mitchell, oh, my goodness. The two plays in particular I enjoyed and retweeted myself was the little dribble where it kind of hit underside, but he went between his legs, gets a guy, drops, guy just drops to the floor, and then he comes in and drains the, what, 20-footer, I think, or something like that. Just a sweet little dribble play. And then the one that I think we'll be talking about all night, or I mean for a long time, I should say, was Donovan Mitchell coming down the lane, going up with his right hand, and then while in the air, flipping the ball to his left hand for a layup plus one. Like, this kid is special, people. If you don't already know this, and anyone who listens already knows this, the kid's special.
Yes, he is.
So, do you expect any fines or suspensions out of last night? I can see Chris sitting out a few games.
I would guess Chris would get a one gamer. I think that would be the only one.
Yeah, I would think so too. I don't think Dudley deserves a suspension at all.
No, he just gave a flagrant shove. That's not something to get suspended over.
And no players left their respective benches, so we don't have to worry about that, I don't think.
Yeah,
which major kudos to Phoenix for that one.
Yeah, yeah,
because
absolutely.
Where it was at on the court and as many people as were involved, I was honestly really impressed that those guys didn't leave the bench. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that these guys suck, for lack of better words. And so they're probably like, I'm not going out there for him.
Well, see, and the other thing I noticed too is kudos to a few players and personnel last night, because rewatching that, Devin Booker grabbed a Jazz player, and I don't remember who it was, whether it was Joe Ingles or not, put his, or maybe it was Donovan, I don't remember, but put his arms around him and pulled him back, say, hold on. And you could tell he's trying to work with whoever it was and be kind of at the peacemaker in there, as well as a couple of staff members of the Phoenix Suns trying to hold Joe Ingles back. Kind of interesting to me to see the way that some of these guys were able to hold their composure in what could have ended really badly.
Yeah, I saw some of their security guys.
Yeah.
That's not their job, is it? Like, they're not supposed to be out there. Like, it just seemed really odd to me. Maybe that's me not understanding, or that's me making too much of it, but I just kind of wondered if that was something that they should be doing. You know what I'm saying?
Are teams allowed security guides for just this type of thing?
It's a good question.
So
I don't know.
Players will know to not leave the bench because they have someone else there who will be able to run out onto the floor.
I don't know. I'd be curious what their specific job description is. You know what I mean? Like, exactly.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? What is your purpose of being there?
Right.
Because there was a couple different guys who put their hands on Joe, and I know at least one of them was a security guy. I think another one was an assistant coach.
Yes.
There were guys on the floor who were not coaches.
Right. No, kudos to some of those guys. And like I said, to Devin Booker and some of the other Phoenix players who did not lose their cool, tried to play peacemaker, get in the middle and pull people out. That thing could have escalated a lot worse than it did. And kudos to Joe Ingles, because you're right. He had some, he held back. You could tell he did. And and watched, you know, watched himself and pulled himself away from the scenario there. And that's kudos to him for doing so. It really could have gone a lot worse. And it's getting ridiculous that Rubio of one is getting constantly hit like this. I mean, Jeff Teague hits him. You know, you get this situation with Chris now. In a way, though, it's exciting because of just what the Jazz are doing in the league right now. That says something to the level of play that they're putting out there on the floor and the grit that they have, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's the nickname and the haircut.
Ouch.
No.
I like it.
I think that when people see the Spanish samurai, they are ready to go to battle. That's what I think it is. And maybe they're just jealous because, you know,
so
it's Ricky Rubio.
So, John, you did talk about their record. Did you hit on the road winning streak?
Second longest road winning streak in franchise history. Now, they won't be on the road again until Thursday. We have two more home games against the Kings and the Hawks. And then they start a 3-game road trip against the Mavericks. Should be able to win that one. Then they face the Spurs, and the Spurs will probably have Kawhi Leonard back by then, from what I'm hearing.
But, right.
You know, who knows?
Okay.
So and then they'll face the Warriors on the road. And the thing is, all three of those are very winnable. Mavericks, obvious reasons. Spurs, they've had their number all year. Now, granted, if they have Kawhi, that changes things.
And then it changes everything.
Yeah. And then the Warriors, I mean, the Warriors have a ton of injuries right now, so it might be prime time to steal a win from them. They still face the Warriors twice.
Not to mention,
but they'll be facing the walking wounded when they get the Warriors next week.
Not to mention, to be fair, I don't think Steve Kerr and the Warriors really care too much about getting the number one seed in the West. I think it's just, you know, let's stay healthy or get healthy. Let's be ready to go in the playoffs. I mean, I don't care if Houston gets the number one seed or not. When you got Golden State, you're still playing. You're still not the favorite. Golden State might be number two. They'd still be the favorite in the West. End of story.
I think that's one thing that plays to the Jazz's favor in that. Right. I think with all the injuries they have, they recognize they're not going to catch Houston.
Right.
So they're not going to roll over for the last month of the season, but they're going to, you know, be cautious and bring back guys healthy. I mean, they know they got the two seed locked up anyway.
Right.
And so if they're not going to catch the Rockets, at least they can secure that two seed. You know, Portland's not going to catch them. They'll win the easy games. And then if they have harder games, one or two is going to get away from them. But I see them managing the season like that for the rest of the way.
I agree. That's looking ahead for the Jazz. One last note on the Jazz. There's a bunch of exclamation points and it's in all caps. I'm just going to say one letter, X.
I'll say three more, E, U, and M. Let's rearrange them.
But it's okay because his nickname is X. Come on, man. Everybody calls him X. The X. X Factor.
Dante X is back.
Yeah. I didn't watch. How did he look last night?
Oh, he looked good. He had 3 minutes in the first and 4 minutes in the second. It was something like that, and then he played the last 4 minutes. So it made his stats look good, but he looked good. He drove to the basket. You know, he was okay anchoring the second unit. He wound up being plus three for the night. 10 points, 2 assists, 3 rebounds.
Looked like he had another one of his spin moves in transition again too, didn't he?
Yeah. He fell down once, got right back up. I think it was good. I mean, it looked like it was his first game of the season.
Right.
But I was very encouraged by it. It was nice to see him out there. And I think I think it's good that he's coming back at this time because I think we'll continue to see him get his confidence back against Sacramento and Dallas and these other teams. And he's going to be able to contribute to the team. So it was nice to see. He wound up playing 14 minutes last night.
See, the thing for me is I forgot just how long Dante Exum is. Like, to see just his build on the court, I was so encouraged again. It's crazy how you forget things like that. It was just like, okay, yeah, this guy is going to be able to defend at the same level we always have, you know, what we've come to expect from him. But is that just me, John? Did you kind of forget the size that Dante Exum brings running the point.
One thing that came back to me is it's surprising when Mitchell does those run-ins and he's able to get layups from really low because his arms are so long and he's able to flick it up there. And Exum can do the same thing. He had one of those last night where he dives in and he, from a low point of gravity, he just kind of flips up this layup because he's able to extend that arm under the defender and get it up on the glass and score. And so it's nice to have another guard like that. I mean, I think they have the same wingspan. I think they both have 6'10 wingspans. So you have these two guards, these really long guards, and length is key for defending. And the thing that the Jazz do really well when they have Rudy is defend the perimeter, because guys know that they have someone back there, so they can play tighter on the perimeter. And Exum's length is just another asset to have. So yeah, it was he played into his length, and you know I'm not going to overhype what he did, but it was very encouraging to see him back, and I'm excited as he gets his legs under him these next few games that he showed that he's not going to be a liability on the team, that he is able to contribute and be a positive impact right away.
Perhaps both of you saw this quote from Quinn the other day that I think it was yesterday morning, talking about Exum, and he talked about the fact that with Exum, you know, people are talking about having him back at the point, and Quinn was quick to divert that and talk about the fact that he can play at more than one position. His length and athleticism is good at the one, the two, the three. He can switch between them. It allows them to be able to play Mitchell in different situations. He can play him with Rubio. He can play him with Joe Ingles. His versatility is really understated here, isn't it?
They've always kind of seen him that way. He did play point for the most part last night, which is fine. I think he was with O'Neal at the two for most of his in the middle of the game minutes, and then at the end of the game they had him with Alec. But you know he is good at the two, and the way the Jazz play, point guard isn't necessarily always, you know, what it needs to be. They don't need a Stockton who takes the ball down every single time, because
right,
it can be Rubio, it can be Exum, it can be Mitchell, it can be Ingles. That's just the way they play.
Right. All right. So let's, I know there's something else you have on tap here, and we're going to push it to the next topic because we've already covered part of our NBA news and notes, but let's go ahead and move forward to NBA news and notes anyway. And you want to talk about playoff seeding.
Yes. As of today, all three prediction sites have the Jazz in the sixth seed, finishing in the sixth seed. ESPN's BPI has them finishing at 47-35, tied with Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City would have the tiebreaker, so Thunder would be fifth, Jazz would be sixth. Basketball Reference has the records projected out to a decimal point. So right now, they have the Jazz at 46.5. So that can be 47 or 46. Either way, that would, if they got 47, it projects them to still tie with the Thunder. So same spot there. And then 538 has them finishing also at 47-35, tied for fifth with the Thunder, and therefore being the sixth seed. So all three of them have them at the sixth seed. All three of them then means they'd be facing the Blazers in the first round. And you know, Jazz have shown that they can beat the Blazers. Blazers have shown they could beat the Jazz. I think that would be a really good matchup, but that's the road they're on.
That would be a great matchup. Dante Exum, Damian Lillard. Wow. Can we all just hope that kind of matchup happens? I'd have a blast with that. I really would.
Yeah, I just want them in the sixth seed. I don't want them in the seventh or eighth. As long as they're in the sixth or maybe fifth, then I'm fine with any of the matchups. Blazers, T-Wolves, Thunder, whoever it is. Pelicans, if they go on a freaky streak. most of the sites have the Pelicans in seventh or eighth now.
All right. Devin, you had some.
No, I don't know if I want to face the Blazers.
Why not?
Don't get me wrong. I love watching Dame, but that's the problem. Lillard looks like an MVP candidate as of late. I mean, they've won how many in a row? I know they've won their last 10, but I don't know if the streak goes beyond that.
I don't remember.
They're one of the best teams in the league right now.
Yeah.
And no one is talking about them like they are Houston or
In fact,
Golden
I think
State.
The last time they lost might have been.
I think they're 11 in a row, actually.
I think the last time they lost was the Jazz, wasn't it?
Well, they weren't they the team that broke the win streak for us?
Yes. The Jazz are the last team they lost to, and then they, a few games later, broke our win streak. So,
okay,
yes.
So there you go. You know, but Dame, I you know, Dame's going to be Dame, period. But in the matchups we've had against them this year, the Jazz have been able to temper that a bit. One game, Dame beat him. The other game, he didn't. And I think Quinn's willing to take that and take that factor out of the game and let the rest of the team beat him if he needs to.
Maybe I'll feel better. Don't we play them one more time?
I think
we've got one more game against the
Blazers. Last game of the season.
Yeah, so maybe I'll feel a little bit better then. But right now, yeah, that I think I'd rather take on the Timberwolves or the Thunder. You know?
So what you're saying is the last game of the season could be for that 3-6 matchup.
Yeah, it could be a playoff preview.
Playoff preview, and if things are as tight as they are down the stretch, that might be the one game that decides whether the Jazz are the sixth seed or whatnot. That could be kind of fun.
See, that's another storyline. I think Portland will have the third seed clinched by then.
Right.
And it'll be a matter of, do they want to beat them and keep the Jazz as the sixth seed, or are they okay to rest some guys and let the Jazz get that win and wind up with a different opponent in the first round?
Right. How about the other storyline that if the Jazz get the fifth seed, just saying, if they get the fifth seed, a year removed from having the fifth seed and Gordon Hayward walking out on them, holy crap. Just wow.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming? I mean, we all three of us, I think when we did our Vegas odds and preseason predictions, didn't we all three of us say about 45 to 47 wins?
We all took the over, and it was Vegas had it at 40.5.
That's right. We all took the over, and I think I've been sticking right around that 45 to 47 all season long. And look at, we're there. And our good friend Tony Jones said the same thing earlier in the summer and received a lot of flack for it. He said 47 wins, and here we are, and it's starting to look like it might shape up that way. So let's talk about the rest of the playoff settings, though. Like how are we looking in the East and the West overall?
So in the East, I'm going to go for the projections in the East. The East projects out this way. ESPN has it. Raptors, Celtics, Sixers, Cavs. Cavs finishing fourth. That's interesting. Wizards, Pacers, Heat, Bucks. And I'm seeing that across the board as far as Basketball Reference has the same thing. And 538 has the same thing as well. So just as the West is looking like it's pretty much solidifying, the East is doing the same thing. There's more drama in the West just because the West is winning more. And you still have 10 teams fighting, whereas in the East, the ninth seed is the Pistons. Pistons are 30-38. They are out of it. They have a worse record than the Lakers. So that's the way that's going to go. The thing that is incredible to me is that even though they traded away Kyrie and they made this midseason trade, the Cavs are looking like they're probably not going to get out of the second round.
Right.
And that's exciting to me.
No, it's not. It's LeBron.
I know. All the fans in the East that aren't fans of LeBron's teams have to be ecstatic that finally, after 8 straight years, they're not going to have LeBron going to the finals for the East.
Right.
That's got to be exhausting.
So, I mean, and I'm just a random and pick me right here. Celtics or Raptors in the finals? Who do you think goes out of the East?
Raptors. I think Celtics have had too many injuries.
Okay.
They're hoping to get Marcus Smart back at some point in the playoffs. I just think it's got to be the Raptors.
Okay, so we're still on award watch. So that takes me to my next question, and that is Coach of the Year. Does Dwayne Casey suddenly become a huge consideration for that award?
Yeah. Yeah, I think after the first 2 months, it was Brad Stevens to lose. I think Dwayne Casey, though, has just surged ahead. I think he's done a great job. Okay. He's been consistent. And yeah, I think it's him. I think it's got to be him.
Okay. And then continue on that awards watch. For all of the Donovan versus Ben talk, very interesting. I don't know what the Sixers record is right now in the third seed. It is.
They're 37 and 30.
37 and 30. And the Jazz are what?
39 and 30.
39 and 30?
Yeah, 39 and 30.
Suddenly the Jazz have won, and they've won a lot, and they're 20 and 2 on the wings of a rookie, Donovan Mitchell, who's doing things that. I mean, he's about to clip a 3-point record that the Jazz has had sitting there for a while, a rookie 3-point record of all things. Does Donovan suddenly with the team surging the way they are, putting playoff seeds aside, does Donovan suddenly become the favorite, or is it still very much a tight knit race?
I think it's tight knit. I think it's going to go down to the last game of the season.
Okay. A lot of people want to look at stats. And so just so people know, I am not a Ben Simmons doesn't deserve it. I'm not a Donovan Mitchell doesn't deserve it. I'm a guy who looks at this race as the two single players that deserve it. And either one, you can't go wrong with. All right. Of course, I'm a Jazz fan and I'm rooting for Donovan. But the choice is not a wrong choice, no matter which one you choose. But you put stats aside, and Donovan Mitchell in the West has pushed the Jazz to 39 wins, you know, on the wings of a 20 and 2 record since January 24th. That says something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So
here's what I think. I think if Donovan can get that average to 20 points a game,
right?
I think he's at 19.8 right now.
Right.
If he can get that average to 20, I think that'll put him over the edge. It's weird that it'll come down to something like that, but right. I think it will. I think if he finishes at 19.8, people will be able to say, well, look at all the incredible rebounding and assists Ben Simmons does.
Right. Right. No, I agree. And then finally, talk on the NBA. I want to touch on, I heard Kurt Helin on the radio the other day talking about Defensive Player of the Year, and I hadn't even thought about who he mentioned was in this race. Two centers are featured in this race, right? Embiid and Gobert. And the only reason why he said they can't give it to Gobert is because of how many games he's played. And I think it has to be a minimum amount of games that you play, I think, right? So maybe right. Embiid gets it because of that. But you could argue that it should automatically go to Rudy with what he's doing, right?
Yeah, the only thing that hurts Rudy is total time played. He's going to end up without about 1,800 minutes total.
Right.
And I think the magic number for him is 60. I think if he had played 60 games,
it was there, right?
It would be his. Right. But when he's in the 50s, people are going to be like, I don't know if that's enough. There's so many other good players. It's just so undeniable that when he's been in, he's the Defensive Player of the Year. You can't deny those stats.
Right. And you know, and I think Kurt Helin put the magic number of games played at 56, I think, is the minimum. And I don't think Rudy quite reaches 56 games. I don't remember how many games he missed, but I don't think he'll quite make 56. Well, maybe you got those numbers and can look.
I'll have them in 10 seconds.
Okay.
Just find Rudy's. Rudy. Okay. Game logs. So Rudy has played 43.
Okay.
And we have 14 games left.
Okay. So yeah, it's going to be right around that.
69. So 13 games left. So.
Right.
If he plays every single game, it'll be exactly 56.
So yeah, it does go back. It does go back to what you said. I mean, that if it had been closer to 60, we might be talking otherwise. So that's a good point. I mean, yeah. So I was listening to Helin talk about that on the radio the other day. Very interesting points. It's unfortunate that you damn a player for games missed. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. The guy is clearly putting a defensive stamp on the league, and because he doesn't play enough games, you can't give him the award. Seems a little unfortunate. So,
yeah.
All right. That'll do it for NBA news and notes. Let's go ahead and move on to Devin's quick hits.
I want to talk about one of our favorite topics for just a second. Did you guys see what LeBron James did to Nurkic?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. R.A.P.
Yeah. And R.A.P. doesn't give it enough, but yes.
How long is LeBron James going to continue to do this to people?
Till he's 50? I don't know.
Like, I'm wondering, because we talk a lot, not we, but they, the mainstream media, likes to talk a lot about Vince Carter still dunking. You know, we see it every couple weeks, you know, once a month, something about a pregame dunk or him turning back the clock. LeBron James is 33. 33 isn't that old. Let's be honest. But that dunk was something else.
That dunk was like he was 20 all over again.
But it's not anything new, because
no,
you saw the side-by-side of him dunking in Phoenix on the breakaway. You know, and he does his little trademark windmill dunk. I wanted to bring it up because I thought it was very, very pretty.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is there anything else NBA? I'm going to save the madness for a minute.
Yeah, we know we'll get into madness.
We'll get to the madness. Did you guys see Tiger Woods is 8-1 odds to win the Masters, I think, if I'm seeing this right?
Yeah, you're seeing it right. Tiger is...
What year is it?
No, Tiger's making a comeback and looking healthy. And everybody I've been reading, everything I'm seeing, Tiger is coming back to Tiger form again. Watch out, world of golf. Watch out.
Okay, so tell me this. And John, maybe you'll tell me this. Is the sport of golf better when Tiger Woods is good? Like, is it to the point that it'll make a difference for the sport again?
Yes.
Unequivocally, yes.
People still care about Tiger Woods.
Okay, something to watch. Do you guys think, do you think he'll continue this, or do you think he's going to have a setback?
With everything I'm reading about this particular comeback, I'm not expecting a setback at all.
John?
I could see it. I'm rooting for there not to be a setback. I'll just say it that way.
I join you in that sentiment. I think there will be one, just because I don't want to get my hopes too high for this, but yeah. Let's talk football for a minute. We've had a few things go down.
Oh. Before you do that, I just want to throw in one tidbit about Tiger. He's one of the greatest golfers ever, but I also wanted to point out that Jack Nicklaus, who is also one of the greatest golfers ever, he won 3 Masters when he was in his 40s. So if he could do it, I'm sure Tiger could still do it too.
And Tiger is on point. Tiger's on the cusp of his 40s right now. Right now.
Tiger is 41, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So, Jack won 2 when he was 40. I'm looking at the webpage. And then 46 is when he won his last one.
Just if Tiger, I'm just saying, if Tiger gets back in shape, and it sounds like he has been working extremely hard on getting back in shape, it's very good for the sport. It's very good for Tiger. And he could follow suit in that, John. He could follow suit in those numbers you threw out. He could definitely win a few more majors over the next few years. And I'd almost think that would solidify him as the greatest golfer ever, wouldn't it?
I think one more would be great, because
yeah,
it's been 10 years since he won his last one. So
right.
Okay, let's hit football. There's been a lot of movement. You've got Kirk Cousins going to Minnesota. You've got Teddy Bridgewater going to the Jets. Case Keenum to Denver.
You haven't mentioned one yet.
You've got Richard Sherman going to the Niners. You've got Jimmy Graham going to the Packers. You've got Jordy Nelson going to the Raiders.
And the Niners, you saw them lose a running back. Carlos Hyde ends up in Cleveland.
And Malcolm Butler from New England goes to Tennessee, I think, is what I saw. So with all of this movement, what moves are you guys liking, and which ones are you not so stoked on?
I'm not stoked on the Seahawks getting rid of all their talent. I don't know what they're doing.
Had a feeling that would be coming.
I keep waiting for that big signee that they get because they are getting rid of all this other cap space, and it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know what they're doing. I feel like they're going into rebuilding mode or something, and it just doesn't make sense to me right now.
And I'll tell you,
I don't like the size of the contract, but I do like Cousins going to the Vikings.
I actually like that too. That's a good move. John and I were talking on Twitter the other day. I don't know how I feel about Sherman being in a Niners uniform. And of course, I got some heat from some Seahawks fans about, you don't deserve him. And I'm like, yeah, Niners don't deserve him either, but whatever. Or I should say, he doesn't deserve the Niners. I don't know. However you want to spin this, What was that growl
proving
for?
Proving my point, you don't deserve him.
No, don't you dare. So I don't know how I feel about he is my least favorite player in the NFL. End of story. There is no and Jared, who listens to us, is a Niners fan, and I'm going to hear about this later. I think he probably is okay with him, but he's my least favorite player in the NFL, and the Niners pick him up. And then the move the Niners make to release or let go, or they don't re-sign Carlos Hyde, makes me very unhappy. Because I loved El Guapo. I love that guy. Runs the ball so well. So I hate seeing him go. But the Niners are making moves. And moving forward, they're going to get better. That's my thoughts on the moves. I haven't been keeping up on them all very well, but those are the main ones. And yeah, that's how I feel about them. And I've proved John's point about... all right.
I just kind of want to let you two keep going.
We could go all day. It's okay. Next quit.
Let's jump to the madness and kind of see where we're at as of now. You had a big upset with the Buffalo Bulls. Not the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bulls.
Okay.
Taking down 4-seed Arizona.
What? Oh, and that means the Pac-12 is.
We don't want to talk about it.
No teams in the tournament round now, right? No, they had play-in games. Did a couple of play-in teams made it in, didn't they? I don't know.
I saw a headline that Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott should be fired. I'm assuming that's in reaction to all the Pac-12 teams no longer being in the tournament.
Yeah, that Pac-12's out.
My understanding was Arizona was the only one that got the bid. So to see them lose, see them upset. Wow.
Yeah, I think Arizona State was a play-in.
Yeah,
team
that's what
lost.
I mean. I think they were a play-in team. So Arizona was the only one who got the auto bid. The only team that. Wow. Yeah, Larry Scott, watch out! Here comes the heat.
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't just win.
Yeah,
they dominated.
What was the final score of it?
89-68.
Oh my gosh!
Another upset was. Let's see. Miami
Loyola.
Lost.
I called that one.
Loyola beat who?
Beat Miami.
They beat Miami. Wow.
Let's see what else we had here. A lot of these have just kind of gone the way that you would expect based on the seeding. But those are the two big ones, I think. Oklahoma came close to pulling the upset against Rhode Island, but Trae Young was not able to carry the team, I guess. John, how much of that is going to be a concern going forward? Like for his draft stock?
Well,
I've seen people say that it shouldn't matter. And then I've seen, you know, screenshots of people saying, oh, this is going to be a big deal.
It's not a big deal. How many high draft picks have like not been in the tournament or their team got bumped in the first round?
That's what I'm thinking. Like Simmons. Simmons was on an awful Louisiana State team. No, not LSU. Is that Louisiana State? What
yes.
does LSU
yes.
stand for?
It is Louisiana State. Yes, you're right. You're there.
Yeah.
You're there. You're good.
And Fultz was on Washington. They didn't even make the tournament, so... I apparently missed a funny look.
Oh, my goodness.
I was just fanning myself because for a minute I got Louisiana State and Louisiana Tech messed up, and I thought I was a terrible Jazz fan.
And prior to that fanning of himself, the look of lost as he's flicking his head around the room going, is it Louisiana State? It's all good. Devin started the show off saying he's tired. He's tired. We'll give him that today. He's just tired.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking. Okay, so we were doing our brackets.
Okay.
And Alan didn't enter.
No, I did not. Because I'm officially homeless, so...
So I think that's a forfeit.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to forfeit. I'm sorry.
I think there needs to be a punishment of some sort.
What are you going to punish me? What are you going to make me do? You going to make me sing?
No, John, I think we need a viral video, don't you?
Of what?
Oh, that sounds good.
Of what?
You said you're homeless. So I kind of want to get you a cardboard sign, put you on a corner, and have the sign say something like, honk at me, I chickened out of the Jedi and Germs bracket challenge. And I just want to put you out there for a half an hour and see how many honks we get.
Well, I've already changed the name of the Twitter account. So.
And suddenly the Jedi and Germs downloads skyrocket from people driving down the street suddenly realizing, oh, there's a Jedi and Germs show.
And we can do another contest for who guesses the number of honks that we'll get in a half an hour.
Oh, God.
Genius, I tell you, genius.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? We'll put this to the listeners. Go ahead, listeners. You go ahead. You can tweet at me, at Devin, at John, at the Germs account, Jedi and Germs account. Go ahead, tweet at us. Do you think Alan needs to do this viral video? Because I'm not sure about this.
See, I originally was going to have it be one of those, like, dancing on the street corners that says I'm a loser or something, but... I mean, you just chickened out. And if anyone has a chicken suit, if there's a chicken suit out there, please let me know.
I did not chicken out. I told you. Who's the one that decided with an hour to go that, oh, hey, guys, it's out and ready to go. And where was I when you sent that? Oh, yeah, I was at a title company signing away my rights to my home.
You can step out for a minute.
Oh, I can't believe we're doing this. All right, whatever.
Let us know if you think that's a fair punishment. If you got any other ideas, we're open to those too.
Holy cow, I'm crying from laughing so much. You guys are crazy.
That's it for quick hits.
All right.
Let's go to the pop culture.
All right, moving on to pop culture. John, you got anything for pop culture this week?
I did not see any movies in the theater this week, but I did finish the miniseries Waco that was on the Paramount Network, which used to be known as Spike TV. It's another one of these limited series prestige dramas based on recent history. And I think I might have talked about it earlier when I had seen the first episode. I finally got to finish it. And it's one of those that tries to be in the same vein of... People versus O.J. Simpson or the Menendez brothers one. This one's about Waco, and it had a lot of really good stuff in it. It was all about the perspective of the Branch Davidians, and it really made you feel sympathy for the people inside. And it did that a little bit too much. It's One thing that bugged me about the Menendez brothers trial is it really just tried to hammer home in melodramatic fashion that these boys were victims and it's really not fair what's happening to them. and their lawyer is a saint mother, and everyone's conspiring against them, and it really makes you feel sympathy for them. And this one goes the same route. It really makes you feel sympathy for the Branch Davidians. And while they do deserve sympathy, I think David Koresh gets off too easily. I mean, the guy was a nut. The guy was convincing all of his followers to move into this compound with him, and he was taking all of their wives and convincing all the men that he should be the only one who's allowed to have sex, and he was taking underage brides. And that all is kind of glossed over to just point out how evil and corrupt and stupid the government was to go in guns a-blazing, and it winds up killing most of the people inside. So I think if they had tried to be a little bit more fair with handling Koresh, it would have been that much more powerful, the miniseries. As it was still really good. It has a great cast. But yeah, that kind of hindered it from being great. I thought it was good. It could have been great if they had just tried to be a little bit more balanced in their history and not gone the melodramatic route.
And what was the name of this show again?
Waco.
Okay. All right. I did see a movie over the weekend.
Yes,
I kind of am hoping you get to see it and we get to talk about it soon. Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
But I don't know how...
I'm interested.
I don't know how in-depth
reviews
I want to get
shaky,
it.
So I don't know.
The reviews have been what?
It's at like 43% on Rotten Tomatoes. I've been nervous about it.
Well, I want you to see it because I want you to talk about it. I want to talk about it with you. And that's why I want to reserve a lot of thoughts on it until you do. I can see why the reviews are where they at. There was a lot of good, and there was a lot of not so good. So I'll leave it at that. I want to read the book. I'm very intrigued in the book. I never read it. So I would like to see it. And from a visual standpoint, it was stunning. The movie was stunning. And the lead character, she was very good. But yeah, I want you to see it. I want you to see it, and then we'll talk about it. So when you get a chance to see it, let's delve into it a little more because I want your thoughts on it. So
okay.
I can't think of anything else from me on Popco. Oh, the Avengers trailer, the official trailer dropped this morning. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I haven't seen the new one.
Yep, the official trailer. About 2 minutes long, dropped about 3 hours ago this morning. So about 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock. Really good trailer. I'm really excited about it. My son and I sat and reviewed the blockbuster list for the summer. And I'm excited about quite a few films coming out this summer. So Avengers being one of those that's going to kick it off. Of course, Star Wars story, the Han Solo story. Right down the line, there's a lot of good films coming out this summer I'm looking forward to. So I'm kind of hoping we'll get a summer blockbuster preview from you here in another month or so before we kick in and dig into some of that stuff. Yeah?
Yeah, the Avengers, now that it's coming out in April, summer is now starting in April.
I know, no
so
kidding.
I'll have my preview for that. Previewing for this weekend, Tomb Raider opens today.
Right.
And that has been projecting to actually be the movie that topples Black Panther from the number one spot. Probably not by much, but I do anticipate Tomb Raider to get somewhere in the mid 20s, about 25 million. And Black Panther got 40 million last week. It'll probably, if it falls by like 40%, it'll probably be just below that. At the same time, wouldn't surprise me if it somehow falls short. Tomb Raider is in the 50s right now at Rotten Tomatoes. So maybe word of mouth will help it sink or swim over the weekend. If anything, it'll be close. But I think right now, Tomb Raider, I would say, has the edge to be number one this weekend.
All right. Devin, what do you got anything you want to throw into the mix?
Just love, guys.
You've been watching just Love. You've been watching a lot of Love.
Love.
Ooh, a little Beatles.
I binge-watched. Kind of. I took my time with it a little bit, but made sure I got it in within the week. Season 3 of Love on Netflix, which was the final season, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I don't believe either of you have watched it.
Nope.
And I want to tell you that you're missing out.
John, have you watched it?
I watched the first episode a long time ago.
So. Oh, that's right. I think he mentioned that a couple weeks ago that he did. Yeah, and you weren't interested beyond that, were you?
It just didn't hook me.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I'm looking right now on Rotten Tomatoes, and the average tomatoometer.
Tomatoometer. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, it's at 94%.
Oh.
Which I think is pretty good.
To be fair, and what I'm about to say is said in complete love and respect for you, Devin. You are our resident hopeless romantic. You're the resident hopeless romantic for Jedi and Germs.
I don't think that's accurate.
No, that's totally accurate.
I don't know where you would be getting that from.
In defense, I did buy Stars this month so I could watch season 3 of Outlander with my wife. And it's very romantic. This season, I mean, it came out a few months ago. This season, some of the writing and acting has been Harlequin romance bad, but it's still enjoyable in this weird way.
But is it Hallmark Channel acting storyline predictable bad?
You leave Lacey alone.
I don't know. I the thing with Outlander is first season's really good. Second season's still decent. Third season is okay just because I'm already invested in these characters. But we were watching one episode where we're just like howling at how bad it's getting, and yet it's still entertaining. No. And for what it's worth.
Now you know what it's like to be a Suns fan.
Oh.
Yes, we come full circle.
Oh, sorry for roasting on Lacey Chabert there for you, Devin. I know how much you
love her.
We'll
talk when we're done.
She's listening. I'm not sure she's listening.
We're talking as soon as we stop recording.
Oh, boy. I'm going
to
hear about this.
This is a family show, so I can't say to you what I want to say to you.
All right. Well, that ought to wrap up this week's enjoyable, fun-filled, laugh-it-all episode of Jedi and Germs. Folks, we thank you for being along each and every week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. We please ask that you take a minute and leave us a review. Leave us a review on iTunes. Leave us a review on Facebook. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, if the option to review is available, please leave us a review. We love it. If we see them, we'll be glad to read them and talk about them on the show, because we just love that you support and are along with us each and every week. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.